From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
The Bush twins, Barbara and Jenna, have been making headlines in the tabloids during their vacation in Buenos Aires, Argentina. One of them had her purse stolen, and there were even reports of them running naked down the hallways of their hotel. The Bush twins are among many who've chosen Argentina as a place to vacation in recent years. In fact, it's become something of a hotspot. And yet, it's only a few years after the devastating collapse of Argentina's economy. With me now from London for the first part of today's Underreported is Mike Reed, Latin America editor for The Economist. And Mike, I'm very pleased to welcome you to my show.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Have Argentina's economic problems played a part in this boom in tourism?
Have the economic problems played a part? No. Well, yes, in the sense that in 2002, at the beginning of 2002, Argentina had a very traumatic devaluation of its peso, of the currency, after 10 years in which it had been fixed. So the country has suddenly became very cheap for foreign tourism, and it's had a tourist boom in the last 3 or 4 years, and the Bush twins are only two amongst many Americans and Europeans who have discovered the delights of Buenos Aires and of Argentina.
Well, with the dollar suffering against the euro and the pound, is it still strong against the Argentinian peso?
Yes, it is, because the Argentine authorities have adopted a policy of deliberately undervaluing the peso in order to speed growth. I mean, that policy has certain costs, which we could discuss, but it's had the effect of speeding Argentina's recovery from what was a very painful collapse.
And what are the costs?
Well, the costs are basically inflation, because if you keep your exchange rate artificially low, then imported goods become more expensive. What the government has done to deal with that is impose price controls. Now, you can get away with that for a little while, but not forever, because you're not dealing with inflation, you're simply suppressing it, and it'll come back and bite you before too long.
So have the policies on the whole been effective, or do you see them as a mixed bag?
They're a mixed bag. I mean, they've certainly been effective at generating growth, a faster and longer recovery than many people thought. Argentina's economy has been growing at an annual rate of close to 9% for 4 years now. This will be the fourth consecutive year. It's going to become increasingly, you know, harder from now on, because you can see some of the strains. I mean, inflation got up to 12% last year. It's running about 10% this year, and that's with the price controls. Now, as I said, you can't keep those price controls going forever. Already there are protests from farmers, for example, who face taxes on their exports and who face price controls at home. There are worries about energy shortages, because the economy is roaring along, but investment is not necessarily keeping pace.
So the economic crisis that started in 1999 is at an end, but now we are seeing other kinds of problems. What's the unemployment rate nowadays?
Well, it's come down a lot. It's come down from, it reached a peak of about, you know, 20... between 20 and 25%, and it's now half that, and that's an important achievement, obviously, and poverty is still falling, but it continues to affect around 30% of Argentines. I mean, the challenge that the government really faces, it's a bit like you've been flying a plane very sort of steeply and very fast, and you've got to get it onto a sort of stable cruising altitude where they can keep a reasonable rate of growth in a stable and sustained way.
You mentioned that there have been protests from the farmers. How is the agricultural sector doing in general?
Well, the agricultural sector once again has come to Argentina's rescue, as it has so often in the country's history, because it's been fortunate that world prices for farm commodities have been very high for the last few years. A lot of that, of course, is to do with increased demand in Asia and China's growth and so on. Partly because of reforms which were undertaken in the 1990s, and partly because of the natural productivity of the pampas, Argentina's farmers are incredibly efficient and productive, and its farm exports have been leading the way in terms of growth, and at the same time the farmers have been paying these extraordinary export taxes which have helped out the government fiscal balance.
Is beef the most important export item still?
Well, it's soya, maize, wheat, beef, and a series of other products. I mean, including, of course, wine. Argentine wine is increasingly being exported and is of increasingly good quality.
And they have a grape that they have specialized in, the Malbec grape, that makes their wine unique right now.
They have indeed, and there's just enormous potential for Argentine wine because the country has a lot of suitable land and lots of different altitudes and types of land. There's an infinite variety of grapes that you can grow there, and there's some very fine wine coming out of there.
My guest is Mike Reed, the Latin America editor of The Economist, and we're talking about the economic recovery of Argentina. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, has Argentina been affected by some of the problems that other beef exporters have faced? Mad cow disease actually cut down on, I think one case, cut down on American exports. It hurt Canada. I understand that Brazil had some problems with foot and mouth disease.
They haven't had mad cow, but they did have an outbreak of foot and mouth, which, as far as I know, has been controlled.
Uh-huh. So there has been less of a hit on those, because that's so important to the Argentinian economy. I understand that foreigners are benefiting from Argentina's problems in other ways. A lot of people are going there to Buenos Aires to get plastic surgery.
Well, I think that's true for several places in Latin America. Argentina, Brazil, Costa Rica, and so on. It's increasingly popular around the world, and it's an area where I think Latin America has a lot of experience and perhaps a comparative advantage.
And what about real estate? Foreigners, I hear, are buying up real estate.
That's right. I mean, there are even two or three real estate agencies set up by Americans specifically aimed at selling houses and apartments in Buenos Aires to foreigners, either as vacation homes or as an investment to buy to let, buy to rent, and indeed. Partly because of the exchange rate. I mean, property in Buenos Aires is still relatively cheap for foreigners, and there's been a lot of demand, and people have discovered what a great city Buenos Aires is.
Has there been an anti-foreign backlash as a result?
Not that that we've detected so far. Could come because if property prices start rising a lot, because obviously Argentines are not buying with dollars or euros, you know.
Now, Argentina has been getting a lot of financial help from Venezuela. Have there been any strings attached by Hugo Chavez?
Well, it's hard to know the details of those deals because they're not particularly transparent. Clearly, there has been Argentina has given diplomatic support to Venezuela, for example, in its entry to the Mercosur trade group and its failed attempt to get a rotating seat on the UN Security Council. There have been signs just in the last couple of weeks that President Kirchner of Argentina has wanted to distance himself a little from Hugo Chavez. Though whether that will turn into a trend remains to be seen.
Have you been looking into the 25th anniversary of the Falklands Wars that's coming up on April 2nd?
Well, indeed, it's coming up next year, and it will be marked, obviously, in Britain, and it will be marked in Argentina, I'm sure. And there is a presidential election in October in Argentina, which President Kirchner will almost certainly seek a second term. Now, he's from Patagonia, down in the south, which is just opposite the Falkland Islands, and it's an issue where which is felt very strongly in Patagonia. He has adopted a rather more aggressive diplomatic approach to the issue than past Argentine governments. So we'll see whether it becomes a motive for some saber rattling or not.
Well, it's called they're called the Malvinas in Argentina. What makes them so valuable in Argentinian eyes? Do they have natural resources, or is this just a matter of national pride?
Well, they have natural resources in the sense that the fishing, particularly fishing for squid in the waters around the islands. There has been a lot of drilling for oil over the last 10 years without so far any great results. It really is a matter of history and national pride for Argentina. Though clearly were oil to be discovered, that would raise the stakes somewhat.
As somebody who reports on Latin American affairs, but is also British, how do you refer to them? The Falklands or the Malvinas?
I think it depends where I am.
Divided loyalties in this case. Well, who lives on the Malvina Falklands now?
Well, I must say, when you talk to Argentines and indeed Latin Americans in general, they often tend to imagine that there's there are sort of Latin Americans living in the Malvinas, oppressed by the British colonial yoke. But I mean, in fact, of course, the Falkland Islanders have expressed, you know, very, very strong desire repeatedly to remain British. And they are of rather sort of hardy background, I mean, like people in northern Scotland or whatever.
Well, you said there's been some saber rattling. Do you think that there's a possibility we might see another invasion now that Margaret Thatcher is no longer at 10 Downing?
No, I think one can be certain that that won't happen because I think everybody in Argentina, including the president, recognizes that the military action was disastrous for Argentina. It set back the chances of some sort of diplomatic settlement of the conflicting claims over the islands. Certainly for a very long time. But just the tone of the diplomacy has been more aggressive under President Kirchner than under previous governments. And there's been less progress on practical matters such as cooperation on enforcing fishing agreements and developing flights and things like that.
Well, perhaps 25 years is enough time to get over some of the humiliation over what happened. 650 Argentinians or so died in the battle, 250 British, and it was a rout. And I gather that some of the veterans from Argentina, the suicide rate among those veterans is rather high.
Well, that's right. I mean, I mean, for soldiers who have taken part in a defeat, it's often a very poignant and difficult situation for those who've survived it, because often the rest of the society does not want to know, does not see them as heroes, which, you know, individually perhaps they were. They have suffered a lot, I think.
Well, you said that there'll be celebrations in Britain. What kind of celebrations can there be, and how are they in any way affected by the current situation with Britain at war, in a very different kind of a war?
Well, I'm not sure if I use the word celebrations. I think it will certainly be marked, commemorated, the anniversary. I don't know if the tone will be, one hopes it won't be particularly triumphalistic for the reasons that you allude to. And also because, in the end, for the islanders, their future depends to a degree on reasonable relations with their neighbors in Latin America.
I want to thank you so much for being with us today on today's underreported segment, in which we've been looking at Argentina. Mike Reed, the Latin America editor of The Economist in London. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.